What is it that you've trained me to do every Sunday? Since I've been the minister here, you've trained me to read something. Karen Anderson also wrote a beautiful piece about it. It's morning greeting. Whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. That actually comes from a scripture reading, and in the United Church of Christ, this is what churches all through the UCC read, and that all may be one is another part of the scripture. But this particular scripture, it is Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42, and it's a scripture regarding hospitality and invitation and welcome. And that's all three of these are appropriate, by the way, for our community of faith. Whoever welcomes you, Jesus is speaking here, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. But specifically, what is this reward? Is it money? Is it fame or fortune? Is it eternal life for me? Perfect children? Is it perfect parents? How do children create perfect parents? I'm not sure how that works. Is it perfect anything? What will I get out of this? Maybe that strange ideal reward can be found in places we least expect to find it. And I was reading in a newsletter of a colleague, a ministerial colleague, about a man from Missouri named Tom Ailey. And some of you in forestry may have heard of Tom Ailey. Anybody ever hear of him in the forest department? Tom Ailey? Okay, well, received his degree from Berkeley in forestry in 1960. But anyway, he has apparently lived his entire life to care for a tiny blind snail. At the age of 27 in 1966, he quit his lucrative job as a water hydrologist in Southern California, and along with his wife, bought a cave in the Ozarks, where he could study full-time cave hydrology and geology. Hydrogeology, I guess you can call it. When Ailey began his survey in what he named the Tumbling Creek Cave, he discovered that 15,000 tiny blind snails were its inhabitants. After sharing his findings with other scientists, he discovered that this was the only place on Earth that these snails were able to survive. And in the study, he also found that they were a separate species and genus, smaller than a grain of sand, not only blind, but eyeless. Well, I went on YouTube this past week and checked it out, and sure enough, there they are, and they are the tiniest little things you can imagine. Now, unfortunately, years after he initiated the study, the snail population dwindled to only 150. Now, he counted them. What an amazingly patient human being Tom Ailey must be to count these tiny, tiny little snails. Sediment from overgrazed pasture land runoff has muddied the stream they live in, and the environment just could not support them. So in an effort to protect the snail, Ailey and his wife, and then they had two kids as well, they purchased 4 square miles of land surrounding the cave. They raised and spent over $1 million, and they planted over 25,000 trees. And while they did all this to ensure the survival of these snails, Tom Ailey explained that if this snail is in trouble, the entire ecosystem of the cave would also be in trouble. He's all for our environment. He explained that he and his wife devoted their entire lives and thousands of dollars for what he called the most diverse cave fauna of any west of the Mississippi, and for all the life it holds, especially those blind snails, and he will ensure their survival. So, one wonders what possesses a person to devote over 50 years of life, he's now 79 years of age, almost 80, for such a purpose. Many in the scientific community would admire the dedication and commitment and discipline of hydrologist Tom Ailey. This is a model of one person making a difference in preserving our ecosystem. Another individual might consider Ailey to be a nutcase, spending over $1 million focusing an entire life on a creature barely visible to the human eye. What's the point? Who really would miss these snails or, in fact, even notice them in the first place? And what of Tom Ailey's wife? Who would put up with anything like that? The only other person would be someone maybe married to a minister, but would be a person crazy enough to jump into a life like that. But there you go. So what do snails have to do with our Cadillac community of faith? I'm not saying anything about slow or anything like that. I am saying it is metaphor. It is a wonderful image for us, and I'll say it out loud, what many of you may already think. In terms of numbers, we are a small congregation. I saw Penny. Did you just count? How many do we have today? Ooh. Well, that's 4 more than last week. Yeah. We're growing. In terms of leadership, and I've said this before, we're a very big congregation. To put it all together, we're a little big church. The sermon title, of course, it comes from the movie Little Big Man, which is a delightful comedy, tragedy, drama, adventure. You name it, it's all in there. The Cadillac First Congregational United Church of Christ, well, that's who we are. And we're a delightful, comic, tragic, dramatic, adventurous congregation. Any way you want to see it, it's all here. We are a wonderful collection of people with a variety of opinions, a community of individuals, more shepherds than sheep. I'm supposed to laugh at that, but I keep saying that and nobody says, what's he saying? That's a compliment. Anna called me this last week and left a message, and she said, just to update you, I know exactly what that cover, bulletin cover is. Didn't you, Anna? It's a sundial. Thank you, Anna. Because I threw that out at everybody. Anna, you're a shepherd. Yeah. Everybody is a shepherd in this place. And that's great. But we also are partners in ministry. And considering how unique and varied and exciting this congregation is here in Cadillac, where do we go? Where do we grow from here? One church consultant asks 2 questions of individual members of a growing congregation. One, Do I really believe that I am the last person in Cadillac, Michigan, who would benefit from finding what I have found here at First Congregational Church? And two, do I really believe there is no other person out there in the Cadillac community with a skill, talent, opinion, character, or soul who could enrich our congregation? If you find yourself saying that I'm not the last person in Cadillac who would benefit from coming here or who has a gift to bring, then set about figuring out how to invite others to church. As the earlier Mark scripture expressed, and Joyce shared that with us, the invitation went out to people as varied as fishermen, and also later on as carpenters, I mean as accountants. And we have, how many of you enjoy fishing? How many of you are successful at fishing? Only one? Okay. There you go, Richard. I'm going to share something about from Martin Marty. He's a former professor at the University of Chicago Divinity School. He says this about sharing power as partners. He says, "What I find is that when you ask people what would bring them back to church or bring them there for the first time, they don't say the prospect of better sermons or music or architecture or program. They say, if the people whose lifestyle I share, if the people I work with and hang out with find that something is important, then I will entertain it. If everybody I know is doing aerobics, I might be invited by them, and then I do it. If everybody I know is jogging and they invite me, then I might do it. I guess you could also say if everybody is doing yoga, well, I might consider it and do it. If some of the church people who are important to me invite me and I find there are some meanings there and a program of action there, and an institution of care there, I'd let it work on me and I'd become a part of it. That's what I mean by saying you have to be inviting. You have to invite. Thinking of the church as an inviting agency does more than all the techniques ever devised by church growth committees. Whenever I hear that a committee has been formed, I know the world isn't going to change one bit. We get reports, but nobody ever invites anybody. Some of you have probably heard this story. It is the story of four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was asked to do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. Consequently, it wound up that nobody told anybody, so everybody blamed somebody. Okay, repeat that back to me. Okay, there you go. And all of this is to say that if we are to grow as a church, then as in the beautiful song, Let There Be Peace on Earth, that song says, let it begin with me, let it begin with you. And I'm not talking to somebody else, I'm talking to you, and you, and you, everybody, and I'm talking to John. Look what we have here in this wonderful and welcoming and inclusive and free-thinking, free-believing, nurturing, caring congregation. We are partners in ministry. We are priests to each other, and we need one another just as others are in need of us. While we are a little church, we're also a big church with individual souls engaged in a larger vision of who we can be and what our church can become. And about those blind snails, Tom Ailey. He is living his life there, working for the environment and for that tiny, small snail in Missouri. He does not think he is insane. He knows that these tiny lives matter. The beautiful diversity of this world matters. And no matter how minor and insignificant these snails may seem to others, they are part of what makes this planet surge with life. They are important. They are significant. They are, in fact, essential to the whole. Likewise, don't ever think you don't matter, because you do. We do. If it is true of 150 small snails in Missouri, how much more true is it of people we meet every day? How much more true is it of the people we live with and worship with and serve with right here in our Cadillac First Congregational Church? The sacred in us emerges when we invite both the people we know and the people we don't know into our church life. It is a way for us to continue learning and growing, renewing and revitalizing our minds and hearts and spirits. We say we are a welcoming and inviting congregation for all people, and that we are open to wonder and grace and God's love, God's forgiveness. Good. That's a good starting point. And we talk about it, but what do we do about it? Just remember, each one individually and all of us together are part of the beautiful diversity of church, within it and outside of it. Each of us and all of us together are partners in this life divine. Yes, we're a little church, we're a big church too, and that's all right. And so on this March 4th Sunday, let us march forth in love. And as a little big church, let us open our minds, let us open our hands, and let us open our hearts in hospitality to others, saying, "You're welcome." Amen.